testing Friday, September 18th.
This is George Dunson, Mohawk Valley Managers State. With whom am I speaking?
Megan Buckman.
Buckman, it's okay, I'm just trying to determine the spelling of the last name, or the pronunciation of the last name. I have a petition for an order of protection against Jason Cooper. We'll start by swearing you in, and then I'll have you recount the events leading up to this. You solemnly swear affirm the testimony about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
So what is Mr. Cooper's relationship to you?
He is my ex-boyfriend and roommate. Today, he was taken under custody.
Okay, hang on. Ms. Buckman, please. Are all the allegations in your petition true or correct, to best of belief and knowledge?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm not really clear on what the relationship is. Is this relationship that started as one thing and has evolved into something else, or what?
Yes, we lived together. We were dating. I broke up with him 3 months ago. And we're still currently residing in the same location. We're supposed to be moving out October 5th.
Okay, so it was already planned that you won't be living together after October 5th?
Correct.
You'd be moving to one residence and he'd be moving somewhere else?
Correct.
Okay, so tell me what happened, remembering that you were the only one who was there. What time of day, what led up to this incident, and then what happened?
To the domestic violence of today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It was around 2 p.m. I was eating soup in the kitchen on a stool. Jason was in the living room drinking.
Having a recorder issue that seems to be unresolved for all of our efforts, but I could hear you with the issue being recorded. I guess I don't understand. You're sitting in the kitchen seemingly minding your own business, and out of nowhere he starts threatening your life?
Well, he has been drinking all day. He's a severe alcoholic. He needs help. I broke up with him because of it, and I'm trying to get away. I can't afford to leave, and he has no friends or family in the area to go. He has nowhere else to look. So he was mad and angry and arguing with me, and I tried to remain calm, knowing that it would irritate him even more. And so I just thought he wasn't going to hurt me. He only recently started talking about it and threatening me. And I was just too foolish, and he grabbed my neck.
There's no one else that's included in the order?
No.
You have requested that your animals be protected.
Yes, he threatened their lives. I had two dogs.
When did he threaten the dogs?
He threatened them today when he threatened my life.
Is this the first time this has ever occurred?
This is the first time he physically touched me.
Does he own firearms?
No, sir.
I'll find that you need the relationship test, that there's adequate evidence to believe that he's engaged in disorderly conduct and assault. I grant your request for an order of protection, or we have no contact with you, not going to your place of employment, grant you the exclusive use of the residence. Where is, do you know where he is now?
Apparently he's in custody. They took him 2 hours ago.
So he's been Tampa, I mean.
Did they take him by Rock Valley Police? Not sure where he is.
So.
I have the police number, I have the report number and the officer's information.
Okay, Ms. Button, it's more an issue of who attempts to serve him and where, and that's kind of uncertain at the moment.
Okay.
He's not going to be seen at the.
Number and then the officer name and that, and his badge number, if that's helpful.
So if there is.
He's not going to make it to initials until like 3rd. Or is it 6:30? So the question is who's, all right, the only reason I'm curious, Ms. Buckness, or concerned is because if we indicate to them that he's in the Pima County Jail, they will assign it to the Pima County Sheriff or the Tucson Police to serve it. And this is all done by a computer. But the other side of the coin is that he's very likely going to be released at 6:30 or sometime shortly thereafter at the evening initial appearance process. Is it 6:30 or?
I bet he'll be there overnight. I don't think they'll get him booked in time for the.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. Well, so that's what becomes the mystery. Well, we don't know. It's too hard to predict. The booking process sometimes is very quick. And sometimes it's very slow. If it's very quick, they could see him at the, I think it's 6:30 or 8:30 tonight at the initial appearance court. Well, if they do cut him loose, it's problematic. So here's the other thing. We probably have to allow him an opportunity to go back to the house and pick up his belongings. And may put more burden on you, but if you've got some boxes or he's got suitcases or something, if you can pack up most of his stuff, particularly just enough stuff to keep him alive for a while, and have it sitting by the front door when the police arrive, he can't come to your house without the police. If he does, it's a violation of the order, okay?
Right. So he needs to be served with the order to know he has it.
Correct, which is why you're now kind of in this, I don't know what you would call it, a...
conundrum, middle point.
Yeah, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place on this whole thing. So,
okay,
well, let me just finish talking about the rest of it, and then we'll talk about those kinds of procedures. But. I've granted a request for the order. I've ordered no contact with you, not coming to your residence, granted you the exclusive use of the residence, ordered him to not have any contact with your animals. We need to somehow get you an original and an extra copy of the order. Do you, if we got this ready to ship? Hang on. Can she just come down here and pick this up today?
She can live here back home.
Well, yeah. You're not that far away, are you? I mean, you're in.
You're in La Cunada?
Yes, ma'am.
So am I.
Oh, okay. I just have no idea where Palmetto Dunes was, but if you want to distract down here, we'll give you the copy, but you should keep it with you at all times. I'm sure he's got a key to the residence. I'm not sure you're going to be able to get the locks changed before he shows up.
No.
That would be very problematic. But, so, what you need to do is if he shows up there, do not engage him. Contact 911. Try not to let him in the house if you possibly can. When the officers arrive, you show them the copy of the order. They will check with the sheriff to see if it's been served. If he has been served, he'd be arrested for violating the order. If he hasn't been served, they are going to take your extra copy, give it to him, and then he's then deemed served at that time.
The sheriff has to call the jail or wherever physically at now and let them know I was granted a order of protection.
Oh.
They're going to have them served there.
Well, see. It's the sheriff and the police that have to serve it. Jail staff can't serve it. So it's either that's going to go to the sheriff or the police, to some police to serve it on him in custody.
And the sheriff, but we've got one back where it's been served in the jail. We're pretty quick about serving them in jail.
But see that, then you're going to have to specifically put there that he's at the jail and send it to the sheriff.
We're going to update it and finalize it so it goes in there, and then I'll mail a copy to the sheriff, my contact with the sheriff, and say he's in custody.
Okay. I suppose you could tell OBPD that it's been issued. You could. All right, well, we've done this, but it's... I'm still reticent to tell you that everything's going to be fine and that it'll get taken care of, but you should still come down and pick up a copy of the order. My staff's going to do their best to make sure that the jail is notified. The sheriff's office is actually really pretty good about getting those orders served in the jail. Because see, the jail staff can't serve them. Those are just detention officers. It has to be served by law enforcement. Which means it's the sheriff's department. So my staff will do what they can to make sure that it gets served. But you keep this copy with you and be ready to call the police, okay? It's still a good idea to have all of his stuff stacked up and ready at the door, because if he shows up and he hasn't been served, it would be at that point that you could tell the officer, listen, officer, he's got a standby order in here. But I've got his stuff all ready. You can please give it to him now. And the police will, you know, they'll make sure that he takes it. Does he have a vehicle? Yeah, so he'll have to come back and get the car, too. The people at the jail don't really, the court personnel at the jail don't really pay attention where he's released. They're probably going to enter an order that says that he's to have no contact. You know what we can do? Email a copy of the order to the 2XIA court. So that when his case comes up, hopefully the judge will say, oh, well, look at this, there's an order of protection. You can't go back and there's an order of protection in place. Now, even if they give him a copy, that's not considered service because courts can't serve.
I would think that's on the conditions.
You think it would be, and at least that way the judge would put it in the conditions of release, not return to the resident.
Do you know what email address that is? Because I don't.
No, it's a fax number. It's one of the fax numbers we have on the machine. It's probably too late. You know the conditions of release success that we get? It's one of those books.
Yeah, I don't do those. Yeah.
All right, we're still trying to cover this. Let me finish the other things I need to tell you. If he requests a hearing to request that the order be modified or set aside, we'd have to grant his request within 5 days. He'll have to appear in court and maybe a telephonic hearing. We don't know. And present your side of the case again. He didn't have the opportunity to present his evidence. The judge would then decide whether the order would be left in place, whether it might be modified, or whether it might be set aside entirely. You could have some difficulty because if you're planning on moving out by October 5th and he has furniture and other things in the house, I'm not sure how you're going to handle that. Okay, so I don't know, maybe such a thing that you have. If you moved out a couple days early and moved all your stuff out and left his there, you could notify him, and then it would be up to you know, you'd need to notify us so we could lift the exclusive use order and let him back into the house before the end of the, or before the 5th, to pick up all of his property. That's just a suggestion. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, and that might work, and it allows him to get his stuff out. But if you do move out sooner than the 5th, you need to go ahead and tell us, and there's a specific notice that we have to.
We have to send it, and once you send it, so you.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
I know. So, send it.
She has moved out, and we're gonna put it in her package.
Right, I know. So we're gonna send you a form that you have to fill out in the event that you move out early, okay?
Okay.
All right, now, we talked about the hearing, and now we're gonna talk about a personal safety plan. Just because I've issued the order doesn't necessarily mean he's going to obey it. If he chooses to obey it, it's a useful tool. If he chooses to ignore it, it's just a piece of paper, and you're not only safer than you were. So you need to have a plan in place for how you're gonna keep yourself safe in the event he shows up where you are. A lot of it is just being more alert and vigilant about your circumstances and the people around you and where you're at. For example, it's that you don't simply drive up to your place of employment and, you know, walk in the doors if nothing was different. It's making sure the people at work know that he's not supposed to be there. It's when you leave work at the end of your shift that you're careful as you leave and don't just go waltz out the door like it's safe. You may not be. Be careful as you walk out into the parking lot. Be careful when you leave your home. Make sure that there's nobody on either side of the door. Make sure he's not following in the traffic. When you go to the grocery store and it's by your groceries, don't just assume that it's safe to walk out. You know, be careful as you get to the front door. Look out around the lot. See if you can see him or his car. Don't just walk up to your car and hop in. Make sure you look at it from a distance to make sure that the tires don't look like they've been flattened. Look in the back window of the car before you go to unlock it to see if anyone's hiding in the vehicle. It's you know, I'm not trying to make you paranoid. I'm just trying to give you some pointers. Now we're going to send you a portable, including the packet we give you a form or a pamphlet from the state Supreme Court that talks about the personal safety plan, but it's not quite as, I should put this, graphic or practical as what I've just told you. So, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
All right, so why don't you head on over here so we can get you your copies, okay?
I'm on the way.
All right, very good. Bye bye.
Thank you, bye.
Let's go off the record.